With state after state leaving the Union, cooperationists joined the secessionists, and you had a very strong majority in the Deep South in favor of getting out of the Union. And as I said earlier, Alexander Hamilton Stephens is the best example of that. He accepted the vice presidency of the Confederacy and showed clearly by doing that that there was little chance of working out a deal that most white Southerners would consider palatable. It is not a question of there being this great hidden Union sentiment in the Deep South. It's not there, although many people thought that it was. Let's move on to the question of whether what these seceding states were doing should be considered revolutionary. Are these revolutionaries at work in the Deep South? At first, many white Southerners spoke of secession as the Revolution of 1861. You see that again and again. This is our revolution of 1861. They compared what they were doing to what the American colonists had done in throwing off the British yoke in 1776. And it was a tremendous release for passions. This secessionist movement was passions that had built up over several decades of wrangling over questions relating to slavery. Finally, there's a release. Finally, we're doing something instead of just calling each other names. And of course, that pressure had built up especially since John Brown's raid back in the fall of 1859. Now, most people hoped there would be a peaceful separation. Again, secession doesn't necessarily mean war. We know a war came now, but they didn't know a war was coming then, and we shouldn't ever assume that they did. They hoped that they would be allowed to go peacefully, but they did begin to prepare for war. Federal forts and other installations were seized. State militias were beefed up in the Confederate states, and the Provisional Confederate Congress authorized an army of 100,000 men. 100,000 men. To put that in perspective, the United States Army at this stage had about 15,000 men, between 15 and 16,000 men. So the Confederacy is saying we can have an army six or seven times as large as the United States Army. Now, in time, most Southerners came to argue that they had not precipitated a revolution, at least not in the accepted sense of the word that suggests armed revolt against a sitting government. They argued instead that they had acted under the Constitution, that in fact they were the true inheritors of the revolutionary tradition. We're the true inheritors of what the founders had tried to do, they argued. The founders set up a slaveholding republic. We're trying to set up a slaveholding republic where our rights, as protected under the Constitution, would be made safe. The original Union, they said, had been a compact of sovereign states that had come together to act as a nation. Those states, as a group, had authorized the federal government to act as their agent, but they hadn't given up their sovereignty in 1787, argued the Confederates. In 1861, they had retained that sovereignty, and now the southern states were merely reasserting that sovereignty when they left the Union and came together to form a new nation. By contending that secession was legal rather than revolutionary, these Confederates hoped to place their nation on an equal footing with other nations in the Western world and thereby gain legitimacy. They quoted from the Declaration of Independence, and they quoted from the Constitution. They quoted from the Declaration, that part that said you could dissolve an old government that was unjust and create a new one. They didn't quote the part dealing with the equality of all men, which the Republicans liked to point out to them. Some Southerners, in fact, turned the argument around and accused Republicans of being the true revolutionaries. They're the ones who are trying to depart from the architectural plan of the founders, they said. They're the ones who are going to strike at slavery, something that the founding generation protected. If you want to know who the radicals are here, look to the Republicans. Don't look to us. All we're trying to do, they argued, is safeguard our right to hold our property and to do the other things that the founders envisioned all Americans would be able to do. I think the important point is that if we're going to say that the South, the Deep South, was pursuing a revolution, it was clearly a conservative one, if such a thing is possible, if you can have a conservative revolution, because they're trying to protect what they already have. They're not trying to create something new. They're not trying to get something they don't have in founding their new Confederate nation. They're trying to protect what they already had under the old Constitution. And that was the key as we move on to our last section, the question of whether slavery was really at the heart of this or not. I think the key is that the secession of the lower South was about whether